Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our live broadcast, November 24th. So this daily thing is working out well. Today is the shaving day in Thailand. So tomorrow's the full moon, I think. Which means, or maybe today, it depends on which. There's two traditions in Thailand. One strict and one not so strict. One strict and one traditional, I think you could say. Because technically, sometimes the moon is full after midnight, sometimes it's full before midnight. But the traditional group goes more by calculations than by exact hour. So, yeah, there's two ways of calculating. I don't know which one I'm saying tomorrow is, but many of the full moons are still the same. So, anyway, shaving today. Shave once a month. It's a big thing in Thailand. Some monks do shave more regularly. In Sri Lanka, they shave seemingly every couple of days or every week. It's arguable which one's better. Because if you shave like once a week, then, or once every few days, you can shave everything. Shave your beard and your head all at once. And then it never gets so long that it's a bit of a drag, because every month, shaving once a month, then it's a lot of hair to shave. But, you know, it seems like less fuss to shave once a month. So, probably get the inevitable question, why do monks shave? I think it's cleaner. It's less fuss. There's no ego attachment to the hair and hairstyle, because monks were styling their hair in the beginning, sort of, and that was why the Buddha instated the rule not to let it get longer. The longer we can, it can get this long, two fingers long, or 2 months. If you haven't shaved in 2 months, you have to shave. And if it gets longer than 2 fingers, then you have to shave. So that also apparently goes for the beard, or technically goes for the beard, so that some monks were testing that. There are monks who let their beard grow out. But still 2 months, you have to shave your beard. Shave every beard.
That's quite a lot of beard, though, after two
There's
months.
That's quite a lot of beard. Mostly we don't go by that. If I go by that one in Thailand, I have a real thing against facial hair in Thailand, because most Thai people have very little facial hair. But still, it's you're a rogue if you have facial hair. Big on appearances, unfortunately. So, good evening. Today I taught 2 people how to meditate, or 1 person, I guess. This friend I'm talking about, my university friend, got one of her friends to come and learn how to meditate, who also is struggling. She said suffers from many of the same issues as she does, but was a very good meditator. This new person was picked it up like nothing. Most of us, I mean, I include myself in this, aren't able to pick it up very quickly, but the odd person gets it really quickly. Like her synchronicity, you know, it's simple things. You can tell when they do the walking, she's able to say step, being right, step. So she's in time with, that's rare actually. For someone who hasn't done it, it's actually a bit of a skill. But I was impressed by just that simple thing. And then she was sat very still when I led her through the meditation, and afterwards said she was able to do it. So there you go, one person at a time. I'd really like to see if she keeps it up. I'll have to bring her a book. About this this charity thing that we're looking at. Sundamali got in touch with me, and there's a children's home in Tampa that they've been involved with. But Robin, you sent me something about dogs. Actually, if there was something about cats or just pets in general, because my stepfather's a real cat person. Yeah, I guess dogs have more trouble, right? Bigger, harder to take care of. Suffer more. Less able to, they can't take care of themselves like cats can, maybe? Wild cats.
I'm not sure. There may be something for cats. I didn't look that far. I was thinking about dogs today, and I just looked it up. I can check for cats too.
But really, I was really thinking about helping humans, actually.
Okay. I guess humans are important too.
They have to look after the dogs, after all.
Yes. And the cats.
Yeah. They have to praise the cats. They have to slave over the cats. That's their duty, their role in life.
So, what are you thinking to do for the children's home? Shall we do like an online campaign? Or what were you thinking?
I don't know if I can say yes to that. I guess so. I guess I can say that's sort of a neat idea because, but I just can't talk about money, or I can't, yeah.
Sure. Can you tell me the name of the organization so we
Well, we
can all
haven't
check?
decided on one, but I guess it's the Sundamali. I guess we can just decide on this children's home. Although hopefully Sundamali is, I'm sure she's watching, or she watches this. She did watch last night. Childrenshome.org. That's it. Childrenshome.org, and they have a visit us. They also have something over the holidays. It's a nice website. Since 1892, they're in Tampa. We could just go for a tour. I could give a gift and we could go for a tour. VIP tours. So, what's a VIP tour? Do you have to give a certain amount to become a VIP?
It looks like they're having a big event on Saturday, December 12th, but you'll be there a little after that.
Has to be early. Although we could give, if we, but that's an open house.
Make a donation from our list of most needed items. So they have like a, looks like they have a wish list of some sort.
Wonder if there's a way to find out how to become a VIP. Like, what's the criteria? Then we'd have a goal, right?
Yeah.
How you can help. Make a financial donation. Here, make a gift in honor of someone you care about. Become part of a surrogate family. That's a So a benefactor is $1,000 each year for 5 years. That's kind of pushing it, probably.
Well, they have a list of their most urgent needs. So we could ask people if they'd like to send these items. Although I don't think you'd probably want to have to carry them down there, so it would be better if we could send them to someone in the area. but on their most urgent needs, they're looking for women's and men's hoodies and personal care items like body wash and hair products and things.
Hmm.
Batteries. Oh, and they have a much longer list of ongoing needs, just all sorts of personal care items and recreational items. So we could either, look for donations of items or do an online campaign or donate gift cards. We've got a lot of options here.
Yeah.
Back to school supplies.
I'm trying to think of something that could get my family involved
or
to be able to give as a gift to them. Or a gift on their behalf would be the best way to give on someone's behalf. If we had a bunch of supplies, then we could all together deliver it.
Hmm. Yeah, we would just need a place to send them down there, so you wouldn't have to try to carry them all with you.
Mm-hmm. There's urgent needs in November. Batteries.
So they actually serve children and adults. They suggest having a donation drive. Which kind of sounds like maybe what we're talking about, maybe. When you're ready, Bhante, there are a couple of questions.
All right. Let's get back to the Dhamma.
Okay. I know, it's starting to feel like a volunteer meeting there for a moment. At the moment someone dies, how long do they stay near their body? Are they still aware of their former selves? How long before they are reborn?
I have no idea. I'm not qualified to answer that question. Those questions. They're all good questions. To find someone who knows. Some of it's, the Buddha has passed things down, but not really to that extent, not really in that detail. We have stories that have been passed down. Spirits, there was one spirit hanging out by its dead body, and a monk came and took the cloth off the body, because they usually wrap them up in a white cloth and throw them in the rubbish in the charnel ground, and he pulled the cloth off thinking it would make a nice robe cloth, and the spirit got really upset and went back into the body and stood up and chased after the monk. Chased them all the way back to his kuti, where he closed the door and the body dropped down against the door, and the spirit left.
So, he wanted his cloth back.
A real Buddhist zombie story. And he wanted the cloth back. So there was something, the Buddha instated a rule as a result of that, but I can't remember what the rule was. I think there was a rule instated like making sure the body's really dead or something. What was the rule? It wasn't about don't take cloths from dead bodies. That's really a neat thing to do. And it's not considered stealing, because really, you're dead, dude. Move on, get over it. But or something, some sort of minor rule that he instated to sort of make sure he didn't get chased by zombies.
Maybe cover the body up with something else. Dear Bhante, the more I give up doubts regard the more I give up doubts regarding the practice, the more I understand the practice, the more I dedicate myself to the practice, and the more I let go. The more there develops an issue that could probably be seen as relating to what you describe as the second imperfection of insight, the imperfection of knowledge. What has been happening lately is a kind of circle or seesaw motion or something. I attain more clarity regarding anicca, dukkha, and anatta. I start to see with greater and greater clarity the uselessness and worthlessness of aspects of myself, of other people, of several activities I've been occupied with throughout my life, of the goals I've had in my life, of the goals other people have, etc. This makes me want to practice even more and dedicate myself even more, and I do that. But soon afterwards, when indulging in the many activities as before and dealing with the same people as before, which tends to be bound to happen due to being a layperson living in the world, my experience with these activities and people is now different because of how the practice has affected the mind. Everything is now so much easier and smoother, and sometimes it even feels like I could clearly accomplish anything. This tends to entice or allure very strongly to play the mundane game of life, to play this mundane game of life for at least a bit longer, as it feels like I'm now almost looking at these activities and interactions from the outside as some kind of super user. Of course, this doesn't last for very long, but it makes things difficult. Even when it happens, I still always kind of remember the importance of the practice and the worthlessness of the things I mentioned earlier. But at least this slows things down considerably. Can you talk about this? Thank you.
I think Robin just did talk about that. Where's the question? I'm sorry, Robin, that you had to. That's not really fair, is it? I mean, it's neat to hear about, but
Yeah, I
you
think we
didn't need
probably
to say
understand
all
what he's
that.
talking about, that big change
Ask a
between.
question. I don't
Yeah.
think you needed to talk. I mean, I know, Robin, you're gonna, but have pity on Robin. She has to talk. Has to say it all.
That's okay. I don't mind reading long questions, as you know, if it's helpful.
Well, and in the end, there was no question. What's the question? I mean, good for you. It's great to hear about your practice, but no, we don't. It's not fair. You have to ask a question, and it should be short and concise and simple, easy to understand. Is that person still around?
Yes.
Well, then ask a question and make it simple. Keep it simple. Those are the rules. And we don't need so much background, really, because you'll find that when you do come up with a question, if there is one, that you didn't really need to give all the background details. So you have to learn to be mindful, not think so much. It sounds like there's maybe too much mental activity. You have a question? Ask it. Zen. Think Zen. You don't be hit you with a stick.
We'll have to implement the Twitter limitation with there. What's that, 120
Well, see,
characters?
it was originally at something like what, 400 characters or something? 200, and then people, oh no, it's too short. Now, how many posts did that person use just to ask that, not a question?
Was just two.
Oh, Timo, this is the guy who's coming in December. Okay.
So he's going to put a little more information there and I believe.
No, there's no need for background. Just ask a question. See, and if you can't formulate a question, then you've got a problem. That's the reason. It's a litmus test that you still have, it's still not clear in your mind, which means that's your problem. You have to start saying thinking, and looking at your mind, and maybe read my booklet again to figure out if you're actually meditating correctly, because it's easy to get meditating on the wrong path. Maybe you have states of bliss or happiness. Look at the 10 imperfections of insight. and see if you have any of the other ones. If you feel happy or calm, if you feel powerful, well, that's a confidence, that's sadha. It's adimokkha, I think, is the defilement. So you have to say happy, happy, or confident, confident, knowing, knowing, kind of thing.
I noticed on a calendar, Bhante, that tomorrow is Anapanasati day. Is that...
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from.
Is that a different tradition?
I don't know. Which, it's the full moon day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's what they say, that when they say the Buddha taught the Anapanasati Sutta. So those people who are keen on Anapanasati have created a day.
Oh, okay.
Which I sound kind of grumpy there. I didn't mean to sound grumpy. It's a good thing, you know. It's good to have that. I guess a little bit grumpy because it's like, wow, really? It's not really a holiday like Magha Puja or Visakha Puja or Asalha Puja. These are the three big ones, because they're old and traditional and meaningful. To have a day just for the sutta, well, it's nice. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not on the level of a real Buddhist holiday.
Is there anything special that they do in Thailand on that day?
No, I mean, this is, I don't know who, which group this is. I think it's Thanissaro Bhikkhu that popularized that. I don't know. Maybe it's his group. Maybe the Dhammayutta Nikaya.
Oh, okay.
Certainly not a big thing in Thailand, as far as I know.
Do you think it is important to keep attention on body in your daily life? While not meditating rather than thoughts, one can understand anicca, dukkha, anatta through thoughts too. Question is, while not meditating, can one give importance to thoughts, or should one confine oneself to the body?
Well, the body's easier. When you're not meditating, the body's easier to be mindful of. Thoughts can be a bit overwhelming, but certainly you should be mindful of all four satipatthana during your life. We tend to recommend doing the body. It's easier when you're standing, walking, sitting, and lying down. That's just easier to be mindful of. And that's for most people. For some people, the mind is easier. You know, some people benefit more from focusing on one or another of the satipatthana. So I say no, there's no rules like that should this, should that. Satipatthana are like four weapons that you have, and you're a guerrilla soldier fighting a messy war. And so it's not neat, it's messy. Sometimes like this, sometimes like that. You have to change tactics depending on the enemy and so on. Depending on the situation. You have to be clever, like a boxer, to know when to duck and when to weave and when to punch and when to jab and so on. And you have to know the long game. You have to be patient. You can't expect a knockout in one punch. Kind of like a war of attrition. What does that mean? You bleed each other. You bleed your enemies to death. Starve your enemies to death. That's really what it is. We're starving our defilement.
We're gonna note them to death.
What is this? Can it be that I've answered all the questions possible and no one has more questions? Our viewership is down, right? Fewer people are watching, which is fine. It's expected. You know, who's got time to watch some funny monk for every day? Got things they need to be doing. That's fine. This is just sort of a hello. Tomorrow we'll do another Dhammapada, but again, that's not going to be broadcast live. It'll be audio live. Is tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow is another Dhammapada. So, that's enough. That's all. Good night. Thank you.
There was one more question, if you had time.
Hi,
Bhante. Is an arahant protected from physical harm only during meditating or always?
They're not protected from physical harm even when meditating. Now, there's these stories about when you enter into jhana or samapati of some sort, you're invincible. But that's nothing to do with being an arahant per se. It's to do with the state of attainment, the state of meditation. Even non-arahants could theoretically have that sort of imperviousness. It's not exactly or directly related to their state of being an arahant. It's to the state of meditation that they go into.
Didn't the Buddha hurt his foot or have some sort of an injury after he was enlightened?
Yeah. Moggallana, the most powerful meditative monk who had the most powerful attainments, was beaten almost to death. Had all the bones in his body broken, apparently. He had horrible karma. He had tortured his parents, beaten his parents, because he didn't want to take care of them. He went to hell for that.
This is a follow-up question from Timu. I guess I was looking for help regarding the seesaw motion between the practice and the lay life. I think my questions seemed kind of conceited. Also, sorry, Robin, for the long questions. Don't be sorry.
But it wasn't even a question. Where's your question?
The question is, what sort of help can you give me for understanding or dealing with the seesaw motion between the practice and the lay life?
I don't know. I don't like general help questions either, because they're too complicated. It's like you want me to run around. You're not alone. Many people ask these sorts of questions, but it's like you want me to plan your life out. You know, general advice. It's too difficult. I don't know you. I don't know how to read the Sigalovada Sutta, give you some general advice. Digha Nikaya 31, I think. Sigalovada Sutta, really good sutta. But there's a lot. You know, because it's not that simple. I can't just tell you something that's going to help you with that. You have to give specific examples, like, is this right, is that right? And I think maybe to some extent you already know the answer to some of the questions that you might ask, so, but you're avoiding them. You have to just look at the individual aspects of your life. You know, dealing with people, feeling egotistical, feeling ambitious, feeling... No, sorry, not egotistical, I don't know, you said that to me, but ambitious was kind of like you were saying. And you know that that's ambition, right? How to deal with things is always just meditate. It's always just going to be learn to meditate, learn how to see them clearly, learn how to let go. But the details of living lay life, don't. I mean, the ultimate advice, it just comes down to become a monk, you know, if you want real answers. Not an easy thing to do. Anyway, apologies, probably not satisfying, but...
He's very grateful for the How to Meditate books,
right.
So
well, good.
That's good.
Okay, enough, good night. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Bhante. Good night.
We don't have another question, do we? Are you, not that you see?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Good night, Bhante. Thank you.